Vartan Gregorian lives by this rule. Never stay with a job more than 8 to 10 years. That's when hubris sets in. Gregorian is now the president of the Carnegie Corporation of New York. He was born in Tabriz, Iran, in 1934, an Armenian Christian in a predominantly Muslim country. At age 15, Gregorian left his family in Iran and moved to Beirut, where he attended an Armenian-French school. He moved to the United States to attend college. After receiving a B.A. and a Ph.D. from Stanford University, Gregorian began an academic career that took him from San Francisco State University to the University of Texas and the University of Pennsylvania. Gregorian took a break from university life to run the New York Public Library and then returned to academia to become president of Brown University. In his new book, The Road to Home, My Life and Times, Gregorian says the New York Public Library job was the most important he has ever held. He still fondly remembers his first visit to the library.
1956, August, I arrived in New York. I felt so alone. I wrote home that I felt like an ant. I said, if somebody stepped on me, they would not even see me. They did not even have to clean the street because I was so insignificant. At that time, the only familiar thing I saw was the library. And I walked into the library, and suddenly I realized that nobody had asked any identification or permission for me to enter the library. So quietly I left. I thought I had violated the law by somehow indirectly emerging there without permission, and walked out quietly from Slavonic and Oriental Division to the street, and did not realize at that time that the library was free. They did not require, unlike European and other libraries, they did not require identification, nor permission was needed. And that was a great awakening for me, because from my childhood on, I had been living off the book and for the book, and here was a major library. I never thought one day I'd be its president, having entered that unconsciously or unknowingly in 1956.
Mm. You grew up in Tabriz. You were raised by your grandmother, and you say books freed me from my prison. Libraries rescued you.
Yes. When I was orphaned when I was 6.5 years old, and my peasant grandmother raised me and my sister, and she did not know how to read and write, and my father was absent, and I had a member of a street gang, but by accident or by fortune, I became a page in the local library, Armenian Prelacy Library. And there I read everything. Some I understood, some I did not. But that opened a whole new horizon for me. And I felt that that was my helicopter. At that time I had no notion of helicopter, but that became my helicopter out of a burning village at my liberation, in a sense, because it allowed me to imagine, to think, to fantasize, and to live a kind of life of the mind and life of the dreams that are only available for those who are deprived of so many conditions that they can only sublimate or fantasize. Mm.
Your grandmother was illiterate. She was referred to as the Golden Scribe, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, that was a translation of it. Put two names together. Her first name was Gold, and her family name was Scribe. Hmm. So Washington Post took together to say Golden Scribe. She never thought of herself as a Golden Scribe.
I love that, though, that her name...
That's wonderful.
They
she would have been very
that.
Pleased.
Yeah. She told you stories. She told you fables. She taught you proverbs. What are some of the proverbs you still live by?
I try to live by. One of them is the stomach is like an oven. If there's enough fuel in it, don't overburden it with additional fuel. Well, I violated that rule several times. Second one was, don't insult a crocodile until you have crossed the river. And the third one was, good advice is like good medicine. It's hard to swallow. And on and on.
You write that, Graham Greene, you've quoted Graham Greene, who says, there's always a moment in childhood when the door opens and lets the future in. What was that moment for you, that formative moment in your life?
When my grandmother authorized me to leave for Beirut, because everybody in my family thought at age 14 and a half, it would be too harsh for me and for them, for me to live all by myself, live for Beirut, Lebanon. And everybody was fully conscious and certain that my grandmother would prevent me from leaving, because all her 7 sons had died, and I was the sole survivor male and my sister's sole survivor granddaughter. And she adored me, and I adored her. And had she told me, don't go, I would not have gone. But she astonished everybody and said, go and become a man. And that's what I alluded to. And she was crying, and I was crying, because I knew how hard it was for her to let me go. And at the same time, she knew how hard it was for her to be separated from me.
What do you think in your childhood contributed and continues to contribute to who you are and what you want to accomplish today?
When I wrote this book, I had different arguments with my editor. I want to name it With the Kindness of Strangers, or Only with the Kindness of Strangers, with all due credit to Tennessee Williams and Blanche DuBois, A Streetcar Named Desire, because strangers, out of pity, out of solidarity, out of sympathy, have helped me accomplish what I have accomplished. And I have felt, second, that I owe so much to America, especially Stanford University in America, where I got my family, my education. So I had decided that the best way I can pay back all that America and all the strangers who have invested in me to become a teacher. So that has been the greatest delight of my life. I have taught somewhere between 10 to 12,000 students, correcting their exams throughout the four and a half decades. Mm-hmm. And as provost, as dean, and as president, I've fought very hard to broaden the opportunities for all the others, not just immigrants, but Americans who were born here, because I believe that I owe to them the same chance that was given to me to democratize access to knowledge and to opportunity.
What was the challenge of writing a book about yourself?
Very difficult, because one of the sayings of my grandmother was, the reason we built houses with 4 walls is to keep family news inside, not outside, make it outside. I had to write sincerely and honestly about my childhood, about my stepmother, my father, and my struggles with them and my suffering, in order to convey to my children and my students and my friends something that they don't know. They did not know about me. Everybody knows a public Vartan Gregorian, but few people know the private Vartan Gregorian. And in 1999, when I went and got separated from my left kidney in the hospital, I decided to write this memoir, because I agree with Flaubert. Gustave Flaubert said, to write about one's life, private life, is a bourgeois temptation that I've resisted for a long time. But I came to the conclusion that when one's friends die, teachers die, relatives die, one owes obligation to keep their memory. And then also one owes to one's children and one's friends to give one's own struggles, so they would not think that everything in one's life has been just serendipity.
Is it true you want to be buried in the 90 miles of book stacks under Bryant Park?
No. The Bryant Park, hardest part, the other thing was, during my tenure as president, we had to reclaim Bryant Park, and the topsoil was the hardest money to get for topsoil. And nobody would name topsoil. So we needed $1 million for the topsoil. So Ann Getty, Gordon Getty's wife, donated $1 million in my honor. So I used that as an excuse. I said, now there's 90 miles of book shelving storage in there, and funerals are becoming very expensive, and I've been paid for in my honor. Why don't I just be buried standing up in the vaults of the New York Public Library, where nobody can find me.
It's quiet and people will leave you alone.
Yes.
Vartan Gregorian's autobiography is called The Road to Home, My Life and Times. It's published by Simon & Schuster. Vartan Gregorian joined us from our New York bureau. What a pleasure. Thank you so much for your time.
Likewise. Thank you for having me on the show. I appreciate it.